WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 29th of May, 2019. I started the show off with the Star-Spangled Banner, performed by the Roberts School. Assembly last week on the 22nd of May. The school had its Memorial Day assembly honoring all the branches of service and some of the more patriotic songs. So that was a recording from that. Basically, I'm going to be interspersing that throughout this morning's show. I have the continuation of the Todd matter that we started last week with episode 3 here. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And this had an original air date of the 11th of January, 1956. This is Arthur. Thanks for listening.
Yes, sir. I'm with Sergeant Mapes. Has there been any change in Miss Tierney's condition?
No, sir. No, none.
Do you think she'll make it, Doctor?
It's hard to say right now. Sometimes they rally. Sometimes not at all.
Doctor, it's very important that we see her.
I don't know whether it'll do any good, Mr. Dollar.
We want to question her.
Yes, I know, I know. Well, why don't you and Sergeant Mapes come on over to the hospital?
All right, sir. We'll be right there.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Four State Insurance Company, Wilmington, Delaware. The following is an accounting of expenditures incurred during my investigation of the Todd matter, the burglary that resulted in a shooting. On a tip from an ex-convict named Orrin Vance, I came to New York to question one Gloria Tierney. My information was that she had in her possession an expensive mink coat, part of a $75,000 burglary at the Todd home on Long Island. Gloria Tierney was shot and seriously wounded by an unknown gunman before I was able to question her about the coat. A description of her assailant and how she had obtained the coat were still to be ascertained when Sergeant Dan Mapes and I arrived on the second floor of Emergency Hospital.
Mr. Dollar?
Yes.
Oh, I'm Dr. Kane.
Oh, yes, this is Sergeant Mapes.
Hi. How do you do?
Has she managed to talk yet, Doctor?
No, and she may not.
I see.
Now, before we go in, I hope both of you will carefully frame only your most pertinent questions. 2 minutes is about all I can give you with her.
Sure, Doctor.
We'll better put your cigarettes out in that.
Oh, yeah.
Ego facultate mihi ab apostolia sede tributa indulgentiam plenarium et remissionem omnium peccatorem tibi concedo.
Father Deering wanted
in
his word.
Patris, yeah. Et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
All right, Father?
Yes.
Hmm.
Is she conscious?
Just a minute. Yes? She can hear you, I'm sure.
You want to go ahead?
I suppose so. Has to be official. Are you Gloria Tierney? Is Gloria Tierney your name?
Yes.
Do you understand that you're seriously hurt? Do you understand that?
Yes.
Can you tell us how you came about these injuries, Miss Tierney? Miss Tierney.
Bill.
Bill shot you?
Yes.
Well, what is Bill's full name? Where can we find him?
Bill.
Where can we find him? Who is he? Doctor?
Watch out. Nurse, hand me the hypo. Quick! No.
This might help. Sorry, fellows. Nothing more I could do.
Gloria Tierney died at 3:35 in the afternoon without revealing the full name of the man who had shot her the night before. Expense account item 7, $6, drinks. Myself and Sergeant Mapes.
Well, we're sure of two things.
Are we?
Yeah. His name's Bill. And this is the worst whiskey I ever tasted. There ought to be a law.
I think there is, Sergeant.
I'm going to ask you something, baby. Outside of the fact that that girl up there died a few minutes ago and was wearing a stolen mink worth $11,000 that you've been wanting to get your hands on, what about her? How does it strike you?
She looked like a nice girl.
Yeah. She looked like the best kind of girl ever made. What else?
What would someone like that be doing in a stolen mink coat?
Exactly. What would she be doing with a stolen mink coat? Outside of having herself a time with a guy named Bill who gave it to her.
You call that having herself a time?
I'd like to get drunk. Every bum in town's named Bill.
This is bad.
Terrible.
Worst stuff I ever drank.
You can say that again, baby.
Worst stuff I ever drank. Waiter.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Bring us two more of the same.
Only make them double.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
I'm glad to see you aren't fussy, Dolly.
Not a bit. Not a lousy bit.
You know, I looked at you when you came in my office and I said to myself, I got a wiseacre on my hands.
Mm-hmm.
I got a wheeling, dealing wiseacre who's got himself a little tip and he's going to keep it all to himself. I said, why do I have to put up with this kind of trouble? Why don't I just toss this bum in the cooler and go about my business? I'm a copper. I got work to do. Why fool with an insurance stick, I said. But I'm very happy to see you aren't a fussy fella, baby. Very happy.
All right, you made a speech, now I'll make one.
Go ahead.
Well, I stood in a hospital room and I watched a human being die. Oh, it's part of my job, part of your job, too. But for myself, I don't like it. If I have to go into why every man's death diminishes me, I'm gonna fall all over myself because I never could go into that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But I'll say this. That girl that died in there was... well, she was the kind of girl I could have kept right on seeing. Yes, I'd like very much to have knocked on her door almost any old night. Sergeant, I would have liked that more than I can tell you.
She wore a stolen mink coat, remember?
I remember. But I can sit here and feel bad about it, can I?
You sure can. I'll feel bad with you. Look at them early eaters, Dollar. Coming in to drink their dinners.
Don't change the subject.
I have to. We got work to do, pal.
Yeah.
Here we are, gentlemen.
As long as it's here.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers yourself. There ought to be a law.
You said that. I remained with Sergeant Mapes the rest of the day as he continued his investigation of the death of Gloria Tierney and the Todd burglary. The apartment where she'd lived finally yielded some information.
Here it is. Letters from Robert J. Tierney in Riverside, California. Looks like her father, maybe.
Yeah.
I'll have the business office down at headquarters notify him.
Hey, what's this?
Huh?
Picture.
Oh, nice looking guy.
Yeah. Love, Bill.
He loved her, all right.
Anybody identified this yet?
That Mrs. Stromberg's supposed to be here right now. What time you got?
Half past.
She said she'd be here at 6.
Hey, Sergeant, did you get anything on the bullets?
Well, they didn't check with anything in our lab. Ballistic says it was an Army Colt, old model.
Pretty good for killing.
And what gun isn't?
Yeah, you're right.
Hello?
Oh, hello, Mrs. Stromberg. We've been waiting for you. Come in.
Hello. Hello, Mr. Dollar.
Hi.
Do I have to answer any more questions?
Oh, a couple, if you don't mind.
I'm just all worn out. I can't get over this terrible thing happening to Gloria. Did you ever find out about her family?
We're going to contact them right now. Seems they live in Riverside, California.
Yes, I believe that's what she said.
I want to ask you one question, Mrs. Stromberg. Take a look at this picture.
Yes.
Do you know him?
Oh, yes, that's Bill.
The man Gloria Tierney's been going out with these last few months?
Yes.
The man who drives the black Cadillac?
Yes, the Cadillac. Oh, I wish I could tell you his full name. Did he do this terrible thing?
It looks like it, Mrs. Stromberg.
Oh, dear. Have you arrested him yet?
We haven't found him yet.
Well, I hope you do. I hope you clear this up.
I left word for the office to get me here.
What about her things?
Hello.
Her family will probably take charge as soon as they're contacted.
Oh, that poor girl. That poor girl. So alone now.
Yeah.
Mrs. Stromberg, did Gloria Tierney ever mention to you that she'd been married?
Married? Gloria?
Yeah.
Why, no, she never mentioned it. Was she?
Married in the state of New York in 1951. Divorced in 1953. Routine check of vital statistics.
What was her husband's name?
Bill. Bill Powers.
Sergeant Mapes requested immediate file checks on William B. Powers, the ex-husband of Gloria Tierney. From it, he learned he had no criminal record in the state of New York. His home address was up in Westchester County, one of the suburbs of the big city. I drove out there with Sergeant Mapes.
Oh, what's this all about?
Do you know a woman named Gloria Tierney, Mr. Powers?
Well, sure. We were married once. Why?
She was shot to death last night, Mr. Powers.
A Gloria?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
We're sure.
Shot? What happened? How could a thing like that happen?
That's what we're trying to find out, Mr. Powers.
I can't believe it. Gloria dead.
Have you seen her lately? Have you?
Yes. I saw her last week. We had a drink together. Are you sure it's Gloria?
We'd make sure before we came here with news like that.
That's right. Mr. Dollar here isn't a policeman. He's an insurance investigator. Miss Tierney was wearing a stolen mink coat when it happened.
Stolen? Are you sure?
We're sure. We checked everything,
well,
Mr.
Gloria
Powers.
Would never steal anything. She was a fine girl. Wonderful girl. Fool to ever let our marriage go on the rocks.
Can you come with us, Mr. Powers? We'd like an identification.
What? Oh, yes, of course. I'll get my coat. Excuse me.
Want to smoke, Johnny?
Yeah, thanks.
Well, he isn't the bird in the picture, Johnny.
No, not at all. Still, he...
What is it, Johnny?
You check the driveway out there?
No.
Take a look, the side window.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
55 Cadillac Coupe de Ville.
Sure is, Sergeant.
There'll be another intriguing episode in our story of the Todd matter tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Well, you find one killer and you find them all. And then... then you have to start all over again. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
School first grade class with the Navy's song Anchors Away. They're from the Roberts School Assembly on the 22nd of May in honor of Memorial Day. They had about a 2-hour, 1-hour and 45-minute program over there last week. Preceding that was episode 3 of the Todd Matter. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. The original air date on that was the 11th of January, 1956. This is a serialized show in 1956. I understand it went through several different incarnations in terms of half-hour show, serialized 15-minute shows, daily 15-minute shows. So I'm going to continue here with the Todd Matter. to episode 4 of The Todd Matter. I think Bob Bailey is our star of this one. It had many different performers playing Johnny Dollar in its 14 years on air. A couple of different networks. It was actually the last... let me see what my notes say here. It actually had, according to the Encyclopedia of Old Time Radio, Johnny Dollar had more lives than a cat. And it was the last... Closed down the Art of Dramatic Network Radio on the 30th of September, 1962. I'll go ahead and hush up here. And let me figure out which... We're running some different inputs here, so I gotta... It's confusing me. My apologies. You're listening to Arthur here on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, and or WMFO.org. This is episode 4, The Todd Matter. Thanks for listening.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Long-distance operator, Wilmington, Delaware is calling you.
Okay.
Go ahead, please.
Johnny?
How do?
Well, this is Don Freed. What's happening there? Your expenses are running away up and we haven't gotten a report from you.
I've been too busy.
What's that supposed to mean?
That's supposed to mean that the tip I got was good and it was bad. Yes, Gloria Tierney, 1231 East 57th Street, had a mink coat that was stolen from the Todd Estate. No, she didn't tell me much about it because she got herself shot down in the street last night. Yes, I'm working with the police here trying to find out how she comes by the coat.
But what I want...
Listen, an hour ago I went out to see an ex-husband of hers. His name's Bill Powers, and he seems to be the bird we're looking for. You know what he did? He cried and blubbered all the way down to the morgue. And he's in there right now making a positive identification. I don't blame him for crying. So what's new with you, Mr. Expense Account?
Boy, you're a real man-eater today, aren't you?
I sure am. Bye.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Four State Insurance Company, Wilmington, Delaware. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Todd matter. Expense account item 8, 20 cents, aspirin. I bought them in a drugstore across the street from the morgue. I figure I needed them. On the way down in the police car, the ex-husband of Gloria Tierney gave us a very little information about her activities up until the time of her death. After he made the identification, we all walked across the street. Expense account item 9, 30 cents, 3 cups of coffee. Sergeant Mapes, Bill Powers, and myself. Powers cried a while, then straightened out somewhat.
I hope you get whoever did this terrible thing, Sergeant. I hope you get him real fast.
You sure want to, Mr. Powers?
Why would anybody do that to Gloria?
Why? Maybe you can help us answer that.
We hope you can, Mr. Powers.
Oh, you... You're just interested in that coat she was wearing. Well, mister, I don't believe she was wearing a stolen coat. What do you think of that?
I think that's a pretty fair way to think right now. But it's not very practical since we already have proof that it is a stolen fur and that she was wearing it.
Yeah.
How about some more coffee? That's cold.
What? Oh, no.
Look, we're just trying for the facts of the matter, Mr. Powers. I saw Gloria Tierney. I know what kind of a person she was. We have to start somewhere. You can understand that.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Now, you told us you saw her last week for a drink.
That's right.
Have you been seeing her right along?
Yeah, sure.
Even though you were divorced a year or so ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you know she's been going with someone else, too?
Yeah.
Bill?
Yeah. Bill Chambers.
That his name, Bill Chambers?
Well, yeah, I don't know him, but she talked about him a lot.
Here. Take a look at this picture. Is this him?
Yeah, that's him. I thought you knew.
You're sure this is him?
Oh, sure. The picture was in her apartment. I've seen it there. One day I asked her who he was, and Gloria told me about him.
Well, what did she tell you about him?
She just said she was going out with him. Well, she told me that he asked her to marry him. She said he had a lot of money.
Anything else?
I don't know.
Did she happen to mention where he works?
No.
What kind of work he does?
No.
Do you know where we can get in touch with him?
No, I don't know that either. I can't help you. I only know she's been going out with him.
I don't get this. You and her were divorced, but you kept on seeing her. And she got this new boyfriend. And she told you things like that?
Yeah. Funny, isn't it?
Why'd you bust up?
Oh, this and that. Kid stuff. I suppose. Spat over this and that. I don't know what exactly. Anyway, we were going to straighten it out. We were going to be married again.
Oh, what about this Bill Chambers?
No, she didn't want to marry him. She wanted to marry me again. She told me.
When?
Day before yesterday. She said she... She said she would marry me. Now she's dead.
You know what kind of a car Chambers drives?
A Cadillac.
How do you know that?
Oh, she told me about his car. Another thing, I went out and I bought one myself just like his. I thought it might do me some good with her. We were crazy, weren't we?
Where were you last night?
Home.
Can you prove it?
Oh, yeah. Home. All night. I was home while she was out getting herself killed.
The name William Chambers was checked through the New York police files. 24 persons more or less fit the general description of the suspect. It took 2 days for Sergeant Mapes and his men to track down all the leads. Neither Mrs. Stromberg or Bill Powers could identify any of them. An all-points bulletin was issued describing the suspect in his car. Same results, nothing. On the third day, the pawn shop detail turned up two items that had been taken in the Todd burglary.
There they are, Johnny.
Uh-huh. Watch and a ring. Todd lost a watch and a ring with a lot of other stuff.
Case numbers in the watch check out, the ring's engraved.
Uh-huh, yeah. Now, where were they picked up?
Shop on 3rd Street. The proprietor bought them yesterday. A man who signed the buy book used the name James Agenian.
Phony?
Yeah. Gave an address on Polk Street. That was phony, too. We got a good description from the proprietor. Fitz Chambers, right down the line.
Oh, then he was still in town yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah. But this stuff's been on the hot sheet for a long time. If he's had any experience at all, he knew he was taking a chance trying to unload it.
Probably trying to raise money to get out of town.
What I was thinking.
Well, if he keeps on trying to raise money and unload all these things, I'll have all the loot back.
If he keeps on trying, we'll keep on trying. Johnny, we're going to get this baby. Sergeant Mapes. Where? Okay. He does need money.
Huh?
They found his car. Used car lot up in the Bronx. He sold it at 10 o'clock this morning.
At the used car lot, we learned that a man answering the description of William Chambers had driven in that morning and offered a black 55 Cadillac for sale. The used car lot manager had finally settled on a price and made out a check. He reported that Chambers seemed extremely nervous and anxious to make a quick deal. The car was impounded and examined. A full set of fingerprints on the steering wheel and dashboard gave us a positive identification on William Chambers.
Oh, what do you know? William Charles, William Carls, William Charles, Walter Cameron. 1, 2, 3, 7 aliases. Real name, William Charles. Male, Caucasian, age 33. 178, 6'1". Now, let's see. 14 arrests, 2 convictions. Both car thefts.
Quite a boy.
Well, we got a real tag on him now. Shouldn't be long before we pick him up. Doesn't look like a killer, does he, Johnny?
I don't know. What's a killer supposed to look like? The search for William Charles continued. Associates and relatives listed in his criminal file were contacted and questioned. All denied knowledge of his whereabouts. In the meantime, two more pieces of stolen property connected with the Todd burglary were recovered by the pawn shop detail. Expense account item 10, $3, one telegram to 4 State Insurance in Wilmington. Explaining our progress in the case and listing the recovered items. Johnny, Any dollar.
Are you interested in finding Bill Charles?
Who's this?
My name's... Never mind. Do you want him or don't you?
Sure I want him.
I'm at Trapp's restaurant on 42nd off Broadway. Can you meet me?
Yeah.
15 minutes. I'm in a gray suit, pinstripe. I'll be sitting alone. I'll watch for you.
Expense account item 11, 75 cents cab fare. From my hotel to Schraff's restaurant. A small, pretty brunette woman in nice clothes was seated at a table all alone. She looked more like a housewife on a shopping tour than someone who might be connected with a bandit and a killer.
Sit down, Mr. Dollar.
Okay, sure.
There's a reward posted for William Charles, isn't there? For that Todd matter?
That's right. $5,000.
Well, I get it if I turn him over to the police.
Not all of it. Half of it goes to an ex-convict who tipped me off in the first place.
Half?
Yes.
You don't seem very anxious to get him.
Oh, we're anxious. But that's the way it is. This other half of the $5,000 is spoken for.
I want to get something else straight. What happens to me?
What do you mean?
I've known he had a part in that Todd matter for a long while. I haven't said anything. Does that make me a party to it or something?
I don't know.
Well, this is going to get me in trouble. If I have to spend the money for lawyers to keep out of jail, I don't want any part of it.
All right. My company will cover that part. Now, where's Charles?
Not so fast. I better have something in writing. Something that says your insurance company will pay me a reward and give me help if I get in trouble.
I'll talk to them.
I'm thinking of the future. I'm going to have one once this is over.
Are you?
Yes. Yes, I am. Now, how long will it take you to arrange this?
Oh, about an hour. I can do it by phone, I guess.
That'll be fine.
Who are you?
Melva Charles.
His wife?
Yes. That's right.
$2,500. Not much for a husband.
He's not much of a husband. He was once, but then he had to give away a mink coat and spend time away from me.
I see.
I doubt it. You people hardly ever see anything.
We try.
You make the arrangements. I'll meet you again in, say, 2 hours.
2 hours. I gave her a 50-second start before I left the table. When I got out on the street, I was just in time to see her climb into a cab. I was trying to hail one to follow her when a black coupe pulled up to the curbing.
Come on in, baby.
Hey, Mapes.
Get in, the light's changing. That is Melva Charles in that cab up there.
Yeah, that's who she said she was.
She wants to sell you her husband for the reward, doesn't she?
Yeah.
What's the delay?
She wants to be sure she'll be handled right, the money and all. Say, how did you get in on this?
Very dirty trick, baby. Everybody my men questioned about Charles mentioned your name, where you were staying, and what interest the insurance company had in this matter. Somebody was bound to look you up, especially Mrs. Charles. So we've kept an eye on you.
Now where are we, Sergeant?
Her name was Melva Thaler before she married Charles. Her old man had a pot of money back in Minnesota. But she couldn't keep out of trouble and got herself disinherited. Money's always been her problem.
Isn't it everybody's problem?
Not the way it is with her. You should see her record. How much you offer her?
Half. The other's spoken for. $2,500.
Well, Charles is no good to her now. If he sticks his head out, he'll get caught. So she might as well cash in what she can on him. Nice people, huh?
Swell. Uh-oh, she's leaving the cab.
Get down to the corner and park. Can you see her?
She went into the apartment building.
Let's go. Which apartment, Johnny?
Here we go.
Right. Now where?
Beats me.
Just a minute. Johnny!
Now what? Before I went down, I heard it go off a couple more times. It must have been 6 inches from my head. My eyes couldn't see, and my feet couldn't move. But I could hear.
Johnny! Hold on! Hold on, baby!
There'll be another exciting episode in our story of the Todd Matter tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Well, there are times when $75,000 worth of stealing isn't worth a plug nickel. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule zero, all guns are always loaded. Rule one, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule two, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule three, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
In the Robert School Assembly with America the Beautiful, performed on the 22nd of May, 2019. It was actually the Hand Chime Choir, directed by Mr. Connor. I think they're actually a series of them, but from what I understand, the chimes collectively are singular, not chimes, but chime. Preceding that was a Digital George and Henry with everyone's favorite public service announcement. And I started things off with yours truly, Johnny Dollar, the Todd Matter episode 4. The original air date was the 12th of January, 1956. Now I'm going to conclude again. 1956, Johnny Dollar was serialized, 15 minutes. You can hear the announcer indicate that as a daily. So this one would be on the 13th of January. Presumably that would be a Friday. Several performers played Johnny Dollar, but Bob Bailey, quote unquote, was born to play Johnny Dollar. The show spanned 14 years. And again, as I indicated before, for those just joining us, it was the last radio drama that heard on the air. I guess Suspense, it closed, and then Suspense followed it on CBS. But they don't really consider that a dramatic network show. It was a different type of show. I don't understand what the difference is, even after all these years of following radio dramas. So I'll go ahead and knock it off and conclude The Todd Matter, Episode 5. Thanks again. You're listening to Arthur here, 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
Hi, baby. Dan Mapes. Glad they gave you a telephone in your room.
Yeah, that's the only thing good about it.
Well, hospitals are designed to make a man impatient. You're a pretty lucky fella at that. Let me tell you about your operation.
Yeah, please do.
You stopped two slugs. They pried one out of your neck and another one out of your rib cage. Missed your heart by a snake's whisker.
I was luckier than Gloria Tierney.
Yeah. Yes, you were. I'm on my way up to see you. Don't run out on me.
Oh, fat chance.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Four State Insurance Company, Wilmington, Delaware. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Todd matter. Expense account item 11, $3.05, breakfast. I got mad at the nurse when she brought in a bowl of hot cereal and a glass of milk. So I bribed an orderly to slip across the street and get me a tray of bacon and eggs. I was just finishing, same, when up came Sergeant Mapes. He looked haggard and tired and worried.
You nearly got it for good, baby.
I got enough of it.
You sure did. What do you remember, if anything?
Well, we tailed Melba Charles to an apartment house. We stepped inside and somebody began trying to kill me. And that's when I left town.
Yeah, it was quite a mess. Coroner had a real job in his hands.
Yeah. Hey, how about you?
Not a scratch.
Coroner, did you say?
Yeah. Melba Charles got it. Her husband stuffed a butcher knife in her back.
Oh.
That was for trying to sell him out to you.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he thought he was worth more than $2,500.
Maybe. A man named Henderson, who happened to be walking down the hall at the wrong minute, took three in the head. He was dead before he hit the floor. Oh. Woman on the street got hit, not too bad. Two people outside, just getting into a car, got cut up pretty bad when bullets smashed their windshield. You keeping track of all this?
I'm trying to. This all happened after we got there, huh?
Yeah. You see, when you and I walked in there, William Charles had just finished killing his wife. He saw us and began pumping. You got hit, and I pumped back at him.
You get him?
Yeah, but not till he had shot up everybody else. He's on the floor above you, hanging on by a hair. He knew his ticket was up, and he just didn't care. It's my fault you're here, baby. I'd have rather cut off my arm than get you in on this.
What do you mean?
Well, tagging you and going after her. I didn't use my head.
You know what?
What?
I still think you're a pretty good copper, Mapes.
Thanks, Johnny. Here, I brought you a book of poetry.
Poetry?
Read. Take it easy. We'll be talking again soon.
I felt awful. Sergeant Mapes dropped in later that afternoon, but I was half asleep. Vaguely, I remember they wheelchaired me down the hall for x-rays and lab tests. Expense account item 12, 10 cents, the morning paper. The story of the shooting was splashed all over page one, and the solution to the Gloria Tierney killing in part. Slugs from William Charles' gun were matched with those that had killed Gloria Tierney. No mention was made of any loot from the Todd burglary being found in the Charles apartment. Between back rubs and sleeping pills, I worried about that. I didn't worry too much about the fact that William Charles, killer, gunman, burglar, was dying in the room directly above me. About midnight, Mafe showed up with a wheelchair.
There we are. Now, you all ready to go up and see what he has to say?
Yeah, sure, I guess so. I still have to finish my job.
Let's take it easy now.
All right. Hey, weak. Busy.
That won't last long. There. Now, here we go, baby.
It was the second time within a week I'd been in a hospital room with a dying person. The first one had been a young and beautiful woman who had been shot by the man who now lay dying of police bullets.
What'd they say?
You know what they say, Charles. You haven't got a prayer.
I didn't mean to kill Gloria. I didn't mean it at all. I want you to know that.
You took a lot of pains to do it. I was there, remember?
Yeah, I remember. Sorry. Been doing pretty good with those house jobs. Todd Place, another one in St. Louis. Doing all right. Enough to buy a nice car, live in a decent place, get around a little bit. Worked all along. Met her. I liked her, wanted to marry her. I did. Really did.
You already had a wife.
You think I'm kidding? I gave her a mink coat, didn't I? Thought that it cinch. She didn't want to take it. Told me she was going to marry some other guy. Some guy she'd been married to before. I got mad. I came back that night, let her have it.
That all?
Yeah, that's all. That's it. That's it, mister. You take it or leave it.
How did you meet her?
Mutual friend.
What friend?
None of your business.
All right, this is my business. Where's the rest of the stuff?
What stuff?
The stuff you took from the Todd place. Where have you got it? Oh, what's funny?
You think I'd tell you that?
Well, what's the difference now? Come on, what's the difference now?
Oh, it's a laugh, kiddo. You know what? I'd die before I tell you.
He died, and he didn't tell me. Not a word. Later, a private ambulance took me from Police Emergency Hospital to my hotel room. 3 days after that, I was able to get back on my feet. I went right down to Mape's office at headquarters.
How do you feel?
Better now.
Boy, you sure look lousy. Here, sit down, baby.
All right, thanks.
Should you be out of bed?
Yeah, sure.
You're lying and you know it.
I suppose so. Well, how's it going?
You mean, have we located the rest of the stuff? No, not a lick of it. Funny guy, wasn't he?
He had his last laugh.
Well, you shouldn't be worrying about this stuff now. You ought to be taking care of yourself.
I am. I'm sitting here helping you worry.
I'm not worried about anything.
You're worried about the same thing I am. Where's all the rest of the Todd stuff?
It'll turn up somewhere.
Why, Mr. Dollar.
Hello, Mrs. Stromberg.
I read about what happened to you in the papers. I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, well, I'm better now.
Well, come in. Come in, please.
Thanks.
Say, you'd better sit down, Mr. Dollar. I'll get you a cup of coffee.
Do you have any bourbon?
Why, yes, I think
so. All right,
so.
I'll take that.
Well, all right. Is water okay?
Yeah, sure, fine.
Should you be out of bed, Mr. Dollar?
You know, everybody asks that. No, I shouldn't, and yet I should.
Well, here you are.
Oh, thanks. Well, here's cheers. Remember the night Gloria was shot?
Of course, very well.
You know, I've been worried about that night.
Huh?
Uh-huh. Remember I came over here and I told you I was in the insurance business and you said you'd have her call me when she came in?
Yes.
Well, I remember pretty clearly you said you'd have her call me when she came in, not if you saw her come in.
Yes, did I?
Uh-huh. You saw to it that she called me, Mrs. Stromberg. You also saw to it that she wasn't here to meet me when I got here. She was out there somewhere. Because by then you knew I was an insurance investigator.
I don't understand you, Mr. Dollar. What are you trying to say?
You sent her out so he could take care of her. And you were waiting in the hall for me.
Waiting for you? Why, no, I happened to see you, and I wondered...
You wondered what kind of cock and bull story you could give me to get rid of me.
That's silly.
I sound that way. That's a good drink. But not so silly if you knew that coat she was wearing was stolen and that I was after it and her.
How would I possibly know that?
Because you introduced her to one of your friends one night and he went overboard for her. And eventually he gave her that little present.
Are you saying that I had anything to do with Gloria's trouble?
Yeah.
Why, that's silly.
Well, here's something sillier. A small-time burglar and thief lay on a hospital bed yesterday and wouldn't tell me how he met Gloria Tierney. Oh, he was a real gallant one, this bird. He killed an innocent girl because she was wearing a mink coat and might tell me who gave it to her.
Mr. Dollar.
He shot up two or three people in an apartment, including me. He got shot himself. He knew he was dying. But a simple thing like telling me how he met her wouldn't come out. He wouldn't tell me that for anything. Now, where could he meet her? Was he her kind? Did he go in the same circles? Did he? Nah. He was introduced by a mutual friend, Mrs. Stromberg. You, the manager of the apartment house.
No.
Something else he wouldn't tell me. What happened to the rest of the loot from the Todd burglary? Two things he wouldn't tell me. He didn't have to when I sat down and thought it out. You've been working with him right along. You've been keeping all the stuff here.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Not so fantastic at all, Mrs. Stromberg, when you think that his wife, and she was a girl who'd do anything for money, they tell me, was willing to sell him to me for $2,500. $2,500. When there's still over $60,000 worth of loot from the Todd burglary lying around. She didn't know where it was. But you do, Mrs. Stromberg.
Well, if you say I do, I do. Now what?
Let's go down to Sergeant Mapes.
Oh, no, I...
I'd like a good excuse to use this.
Yes. Suppose you would. If I can't charm you or plead with you, can I buy you?
You could have prevented her death. You practically ordered it.
What is it you want?
You... behind bars.
You're silly, but I'll go.
For a while, it did look silly. Mapes and his men searched the apartment house from top to bottom and found no trace of the Todd loot. That is, until they found a movable cement block in the basement. Well, the Todd matter ended with a 90% recovery of the stolen items. About $70,000 in dollars and cents. In lives, Gloria Tierney, one innocent bystander, and William Charles. For me, let's see. Expense account item 14, $162.30. Hotel and board while in New York. Item 15, $17.40. Airfare and incidentals back to Hartford. Item 18, $230. Miscellaneous. Expense account total, $1,095. Remarks, nil. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Remember, there'll be another intriguing story for you beginning next Monday night.
Next week, a music lesson on a priceless Amati violin. Music and mystery and danger. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in this week's cast were Vivi Janis, Barbara Fuller, Shirley Mitchell, Lawrence Dobkin, Frank Gerstle, and Marvin Miller. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Be sure to join us on Monday night, same time and station, for another exciting story of Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Roy Rowan speaking.
truly, Johnny Dollar. The Todd Matter. 5 episodes airing from the 9th of January to the 13th of January, 1956. Again, as you heard, starring Bob Bailey. That series ran for 14 years. I want to say, it says from Hollywood, but at the end of its life, it didn't move back to New York and was broadcast out of there. It went back to the 30-minute formula. It varied. Some seasons had sponsorship, from what I understand. Some seasons did not. I was kind of, when I was researching this, I just kind of was reading about Bob Bailey being supposedly the best of the 4 or 5 gentlemen who played Johnny Dollar. I want to thank you for sticking through the serialized. Those can kind of get redundant. If you remember, called the Superman when Batman did in January. Boy, that was nerve-wracking. I'm going to go ahead and conclude the show with a couple more performances from the Roberts School Assembly to close out the show. Old songs that you will know. Please rise. Take your hats off. Put your hands over your heart. It's from the Roberts Assembly for Memorial Day on the 22nd of May, 2019. See, I do play some contemporary stuff here on the Grand Hour. Thanks for listening. Programming note, there is nobody following the Grand Hour, so I will have to put you on automation at the conclusion of the Robert School Assembly. I believe somebody's subbing for Matt in the Whirlpool, coming in at 8. I don't know. I didn't catch who it is or if they'll be in earlier. Again, this is Art there with the Grand Hour. Thanks for listening here on 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, and or WMFO.org.